I see I've been left a sweet. If I don't speak too long, I guess this is full. I'm allowed it. So I'll enjoy that. Right, children, I don't know whether you can just stop scribbling for 5 minutes while I just do a short talk. I've got five smooth stones on the table. Why have I got five smooth stones on the table? Three of you know. Daisy. Yes, so they're the five smooth stones that David pulled out of the brook. Okay, so if you're listening to the story earlier, David picked up five stones. And I've got five pebbles here. And I've got five words beginning with the letter P, which I hope will help you just think about some things around how we deal with our problems. So five pebbles, five words beginning with the letter P, which I hope will be a help to you to remember. Before we just go on to the letter P's, and I know I won't be too long, I want to say on behalf of the church, so thank you to all the children's church leaders who look after you and youth leaders week in, week out. They get a summer break now, so thank you very much. And I think we could give them a little round of applause as a church. And I was always also smiling to myself, kids, if you, I don't know if you like the songs, I hope you do, you seem to be enjoying them. When I was singing, when I was younger, I was at the back end of Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam. And we didn't have words like funky, freaky and wiggle in our songs. So I think your songs sound quite exciting, although they're probably a little bit shocking to some people who also sang Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam and thought that was really rock and roll at the time. If they did indeed think it was rock and roll. Okay, David and Goliath. This story comes from Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And David was a bit of an underdog in this story, even though we know at the end he won. And we like underdogs. Whenever Reading play Man United, I suppose all of you are probably rooting for Reading to beat Man United. We always go for the underdog, especially in this country when we've got hopeless sportsmen generally. We like the underdog to do well. And David was a bit of an underdog. He had a big problem in front of him. That's the first letter P. Problem. And sometimes when we think about worries, we need to think, what is the problem in front of us? We need to sometimes name it. What are we worried about? What are we anxious about? Sometimes the problems might be personal. When Peter prayed, he spoke about some really big issues, but also some issues for himself as an adult. We have issues about the world, about global warming, about the credit crunch, about finances. We maybe have worries about being alone, maybe worries that are more personal to us, about school. Maybe about bullying, about who your friends are, who your friends aren't. How you're going to look when you go out. I used to worry that I might lose my hair early. And look what happened. I worried about it so much it actually fell out. We can worry too much sometimes. And sometimes we wish, well, there weren't any things to worry about in life. But actually, the reality, there always will be struggles and difficulties. There is never a trouble-free life. And people try to get rid of as many worries as possible. But actually, part of living life is living with some things that are out of our control and do make us a little bit worried sometimes. And sometimes fear is natural. Do you know what? If you want to pray not to be scared of spiders, I actually think if I had a big hairy tarantula crawling on my back, I actually think that's a fairly natural fear to have. I've got a natural fear of swimming with sharks. I've got a natural fear of eating parsnips. You might think, well, there's nothing wrong about parsnips. Actually, parsnips make you want to be sick. So in a sense, there's some things that are good to be scared of. Good to be scared of fire. But we don't want to be bound by our fears and controlled by them. And Israel was really stuck. There's these two armies camped either side on the top of a hill shouting abuse at each other. And Israel really wanted to have peace in its lands and this army. And Goliath was a bit of a problem. So we need to name our problems, understand what they are. Second thing, as we think about our problems, we also need to remember the promises of God. It's our second P. It's one thing in our mind being aware of the problems we might have, the things that make us worry, our anxieties, but we need to have a bigger understanding of the promises of God, of what our God is like. And David, in his life, had experienced God's greatness and help in all sorts of little situations. It says when he was trying to defend against a lion, he had God's help. and other little battles and skirmishes he had as a shepherd. He knew God's help. And he knew God was on their side. He calls God the living God. Not a God who's stuck in a temple. Not a God who's just read about in the books. But a God who is alive. And he had this understanding in his heart and his mind that God wasn't dead but was living and had helped him in the past and would promise to be Israel's God. And these other peoples were just taking the mickey. They were laughing at Israel and Israel's God. And David knew the promises of God. So even though he could see the size of this problem, man, nearly 10 foot of hairy monster. What a problem. What a problem. Yet he knew that God was on his side. He had a real awareness of the promises of God and that God was living. So we have problems. We need to be aware of the promises. Third thing, we need to be aware of what God's plans for us are. In the chapter before, David was anointed to be a king. And God had a plan for his life. And I want to tell each one of you as we get reminded as adults that God has plans for you of how to use your life. Now sometimes when there are problems, other people come in and help. And I bet you the rest of the Israelite army were completely relieved that little boy David comes in and rescues them. And God's got plans for each one of us and what he wants to call us to and who he wants us to be. David had a special call to be a king, and we all will have special roles. And God wants you to live out that call that he's put on your life, to be the person you're called to be. And not to be bound by fears and worries, but to flourish and to become that special person with that special role in life that you will have. And we all have different roles. So we need to know what the problems sometimes are. We need to know what the promises of God are. We need to know what God's plan for us is. What's God leading us in? And the next plea we need to do is something which, if you're a musician or a sports star, you will know a lot about. Or if you revise for exams, practice. See, maybe sometimes we want to do great things. We think, oh, I want to do something great when I'm older. I want to change the world. I want to stop people starving. I want to cool the planet or whatever we want to do. But David practiced in the small things of life, and it helped him to face the big things of life. He grew a confidence not by just facing big things, but by practicing doing what's right and learning skills in the small things. And you might not think you're doing great things at the moment, but if you continue to practice to do good things and to trust God in the small things, it becomes so much easier in the big things. Often as adults, we have a big panic when a big issue hits us. We're not sure what's going to happen, what we're going to do. And we run and we think, oh, we've got to trust God more. But actually, unless we've been doing it in the small things, it's really hard to switch on like a light. Oh yes, about learning to trust God. And David knew God's help in the small things. He would have spent hours with his slingshot, pinging them. You shouldn't shoot the animals. I don't know, I was tempted. I shouldn't say this in front of the children. And that probably means I shouldn't say it in front of the children. But cats in the garden, you know, when they're sitting down.
So tempting.
But he used to shoot bears, lions. So he practiced in the small things. So when it came to the big thing, he was sort of ready because he knew what to do. So he practiced. So I want to encourage you to practice good things, to do what's right, to practice trusting God, and to use your skills in the small things so when you face bigger things, you'll know what you're able to do and you know God's help. And the last P is provision. David could have had some great armour, but it was a bit big for him. It wasn't really him. It didn't really suit him. He just picked up 5 smooth stones. And sometimes we have big problems, but it is only a small thing we need to do to overcome them. We don't have to have all the resources. We don't have to have big armour. We don't have to be Superman. We need to just trust God and do in the small things, with the small things, and just let God answer that prayer. It just takes one throw. I thought you might flinch there, Chris. One hit with a small thing, and yet God toppled a great thing. It might be one prayer. It might be one decision to do what's right. It might be one act of faith. Just a small thing. But in that small moment, God can take it and use it and do great things. So we've got problems. We'll always have problems. We need to remember the promise of God. We need to hear what God's plan for us is. We need to practice doing what's right in the small things. and we need to look at what God's provision is. And my very last point is this. After the battle, when they'd won, David's small act had made a huge difference to the whole of the army. One act of one person had transformed all of Israel's fortunes, and the army went on to victory. And in the Bible, we hear about one great victory which has an effect for all of us and that we can all follow in the light of, and that's the victory of Jesus. And the Goliath that he slew, correct my grammar, I'm not sure which way around that is, slayed or slew, the Goliath that he struck down wasn't another person, but it was actually the whole issue of sin in our lives. The things that bind us, the things that stop us from knowing God. And Jesus dealt with those on the cross. And just as when Goliath was struck by David, and all of Israel came into that great victory and celebrated, so when Jesus was struck on the cross, in that moment, for us, he made a great victory, which we are called to share in. Because he's defeated sin and death, so that we can know God. So amongst all our worries and all the things around us in life, we must never forget that one great victory, which has completely transformed and changed our understanding of life. That God is alive, that God has come and has overcome and has been victorious. And we can share in that as we share in the Christian life. I've got some stones, not taken from a brook. But I wonder, children, whether 5 or 6 or 7 of you can just come and grab a handful of large stones and just hand them out to the adults. Just come and grab them. And just hand a stone out to each adult. A little stone. And what I want you to do, adults, don't take too big a handful. You'll be dropping them everywhere. And other people can have a go as well, can't they? If you don't take too many, lots of people can hand them out. That's it. Just hand them out to some of the adults. You all right, Nathan? You got them? Okay, do you want to hand them out, Ellen? Just take that to some of the parents. And then you can return back the stones you don't need. What I want us to do as we pray now, just in closing, is just to hold on to the rock, the little stone. And think about the story of David and Goliath and how David trusted God as the living God. And think about how this stone can be directed as David directed his aim at your own Goliath, the thing that's in front of you, your struggle, as an act of trusting God in it, of addressing the problem, of looking what God's plans for your life is, of hearing the promises of God again, of deciding to practice what is good in your life. So as you hold the stone, think about that. You okay?